So many of our kids are struggling. The CDC says we're seeing more children than ever stressed out because of this pandemic, with spikes in suicide and depression. And now that in-person school is happening in most parts of the country, many school systems are trying to meet the overwhelming mental health needs of our students. Escondido High School in Southern California recently created a 1,600-square-foot wellness center. And so far, they tell us, more than 500 students have already sought help. Kim Bodie is the school's social worker, and she joins us now with more on how we can help the students in our lives during this time. Kim, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Kim, we asked some of our young listeners to share the impact this whole period has had on them, and here's 10-year-old Millie O'Hara from Tempe, Arizona.
It's hard being stuck at home and not really seeing all my friends. They helped me a lot when I was in other grades, and they've helped me with stress and anxiety.
Kim, this is probably something that you've heard from a lot of your students. What are you seeing at your school?
Oh, yes. There's no doubt that the social isolation from the pandemic took a toll on our students' mental health and well-being. While many of our students are enjoying connecting with their peers again on campus, there are also many who are expressing heightened anxiety around socializing. They're also feeling academic pressure to recover the perceived learning loss from this last year. And importantly, many of our students and families are experiencing a great deal of stress around accessing basic needs and housing.
What are some of the ways that this anxiety and stress manifests itself? How are you seeing this in the students that you work with at the school?
Some are responding with psychosomatic concerns like stomach aches. Others are reporting sleep disturbance and perhaps high energy in the classroom. Then, though, there are others who are keeping very still and quiet and tend to isolate. We are having students self-refer to counseling services, and we're receiving many referrals from teachers and staff on campus.
The students are able to use this center throughout the day, and you're tackling some very challenging topics: suicide, eating disorder, family dynamics, as you said, losses within their families. I think that oftentimes we're talking about COVID-19 as an adult problem, but children are part of families, and that loss is very real.
Yes.
What are some of your approaches to handling some of these difficult topics?
Yes, well, our social workers are trained to assess and respond to student needs with a trauma-informed lens. They are triaging with our school-based teams, counselors, and administrators to determine the most appropriate intervention for the student, and then working closely with the family to help connect them to those support services. And so our intention for the Wellness Center is to provide as many programs, workshops to get student voice and student empowerment involved in the process.
You know, I'm thinking about something that kids are not always going to go to adults when they're struggling. You mentioned 500 students have already accessed the Wellness Center, but there are thousands more who are in the school who may not be going to the center. As a teacher, what are some of the warning signs that you look for? And really beyond the classroom, what should caregivers be looking for?
I would suggest that we be extra mindful and aware of any abrupt changes in student attendance and engagement, peer relationships, or interest in previously enjoyed activities and events. So we want to take all of these expressions very seriously and do our very best to create support services and around the student.
And is it really safe to say, Kim, that we should be checking in with all of our young people? Because if you've been at home for the last 17 months and then you're starting school, you're going from the slow lane to the fast lane. I mean, even just with that being the reality, there's a lot that kids are dealing with. And these consequences of not treating some of the anxiety around this, I mean, this can interfere with the actual learning in the classroom.
I cannot agree with you more. I do believe that this is the year to offer grace and compassion to ourselves, to our teachers and to our kids. I know that this is a major adjustment for our students. I mean, even just to be sitting in the classroom, everything is an adjustment right now.
Yep. You know, I'm thinking about schools throughout the country who will be listening to this, and they don't have the capacity to have a wellness center that's over 1,000 square feet. That sounds amazing. What would you recommend schools be thinking about when it comes to dealing with students' well-being and their mental health? What is the school's role?
I think the more that we're creating spaces for the students to come together and to talk, and they are openly expressing more emotions and thoughts than I remember in the past. Like they're asking for help and wanting to talk. So I believe that if our schools can just create that environment and have them take part in feeling like they are part of the movement towards recovering from such a challenging year, and to also proactively provide curriculum to prevent behaviors that we don't want to see from our students.
And before I let you go, I want to also ask you, you know, I think as adults, we hear that more kids talking about their mental health and anxiety and thoughts of suicide, it feels alarming. It's like, oh, something is wrong. But it actually is also a positive sign that they're talking to us, right?
I definitely agree. And I believe that this just may be the silver lining of the pandemic, that students and adults are more openly talking about how they're feeling, how they manage stress, how they cope, and what's most important to them.
Kim Bodie is a social worker at Escondido High School in Southern California. Kim, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for covering this topic.
Well, the children's magazine Highlights has seen firsthand how this pandemic is impacting our children. They receive up to 2,600 letters a month from children all over the world. And for the last 75 years, they've responded to every single one of them. These days, about half of the letters are about COVID. But the things children are worried about are somewhat different than us adults. Not a single kid, according to Highlights, has written about the pain of wearing a mask to school every day. But they do write about things like feeling alone, missing their friends, and worrying about their parents. We thought it would be neat to hear some of those letters. Here's Highlights for Children editor-in-chief Christine Culley reading some of their young readers' letters.
The top three concerns kids have written to us about during the pandemic are probably boredom and disappointments, school, and worry about the health of others. Kids wrote to us to express concern about the health of their friends and family, to express concern about healthcare workers and other frontline heroes. We took a lot of inspiration from the letters we received from kids. This is a letter we received from a child who was very much caught in the situation of wanting to do the right thing and wanting to be around people who may not be doing what was considered to be the right thing. Dear Highlights, I am 8 years old and I hope you can help. I have been friends with my neighbors, Ava and Sarah, since forever, and just recently became best friends with my neighbors, Summer and Robin. Because of COVID, we have to be safe because my mom has a brain tumor. However, Summer and Robin's family is also being safe, so we think it's okay to play like normal outside. I've also been playing with Ava and Sarah, social distancing outside for the last week. Now Summer and Robin's parents won't let me play with Ava and Sarah. I want to play with both of them the same amount. Any advice? We respond to a letter like that by first making sure kids know they were heard. And then we validate their feelings and we let them know that what they're going through is normal, that their experience is shared by a lot of people right now. And then we always encourage kids, no matter what they write about, we always encourage them to find a trusted adult they can talk to in real time. The second letter I want to read is from a seventh grader, and she wrote, "Dear Highlights, because of COVID, I feel like my life is constantly changing. Adding to that, I moved for the first time last summer and I'm going into seventh grade this fall. I just want everything to stay the same. I think very often we grown-ups think that kids expect us to have all the answers in uncertain times. And what we've learned over the years is that kids really don't expect us to have all the answers. Mostly they want to be heard, they want to have their feelings validated, and they want a little guidance and support. If we lean in and listen to kids, we inevitably learn something that helps us serve kids better. They want more connection. They crave more meaningful moments with their parents and the other adults they love.
That was Editor-in-Chief Christine Culley reading a few of the thousands of letters they've received from children over this pandemic. Highlights recently published a book of those letters from the last 8 decades, and you can learn more about it on our website, hereandnow.org.